Well, let me ask you a question. Anybody in this congregation like to watch crime shows on TV? Okay, there's not everybody wants to admit it. Okay, let's. It's okay. Well, Jan and I, we love crime shows, and some of our favorites are Law and Order. Might be some of you fans out there. The Rookie, and then there's that whole FBI series. We like all those. Many times it seems like these shows are based on actual crimes, which makes it kind of interesting and almost scary to think that some people can do the things that they do. But you know, crime has been around for a long time. In fact, crime goes back to the beginning of time, doesn't it? To the time of Adam and Eve, when I call them the first family of dysfunction, Adam and Eve, their family experienced crime. In fact, their family experienced the first murder ever to happen with human beings. Their son Cain killed their son Abel. And then due to hate, anger, jealousy, and other things like that, the crime of murder still continues to this day, does it not? Well, this morning I want to take you back. In fact, I want to take you way, way back, almost 2,000 years. I want to tell you about another, and I'll put it in quotes, murder that's recorded in the Bible. In fact, pastors around the world are going to go into great detail about this event. They will refer to it as their Easter message. And I've prepared an Easter message too, with the same theme, but maybe with a lot of a different twist than you've ever heard before. For the next few minutes, we are leaving the year 2026, and we're taking a mental time machine trip back in time almost 2,000 years ago. If you would allow me some liberty, I have imagined what could have been in a newspaper at the time of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. So I've imagined what might be in their local newspaper, and I'm calling it the Jerusalem Post. Makes sense. They still have that today, or do have it today. So we're going back to the date, April the 5th, year 30. April the 5th, year 30. Here's the article that's in the paper. The headlines are this: missing body of a dead man. About 5:38 this morning, a group of men and women discovered the body of a dead man was missing. Just 3 days earlier, three prisoners were sentenced to death and were crucified on Golgotha. Their names were Jedediah Smith, Jesus Christ, and Hezekiah Johnson. Smith and Johnson were captured outside an idol-making business of a store that they had robbed. Zebedee Jones, the owner of Idols R Us, identified the two thieves in a lineup. The third man was arrested under different charges. At press time, details were still sketchy, but it seems as though the man, Jesus, was taken to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. Jesus was accused of several offenses according to the Jewish customs, but there were no eyewitnesses that came forward to verify the charges. Finally, two men did admit that Jesus said this, quote, "I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days," end quote. Apparently, this statement was something only their Messiah or Son of God could be able to say. So, the criminal religious charge filed was for blasphemy. Perfect timing. Now, the city square was at a near frenzy over the one individual named Jesus. At the direction of the local religious leaders and priests, the mob was armed with swords and clubs. The crowd seemed to turn angry when the Jewish officials began to question Jesus' apparent claim to be the Son of God or Messiah. Unlike the arrest of Smith and Johnson, the arrest of Jesus turned immediately cruel. There were verified reports of people spitting in his face, hitting him with their fists, tearing his clothing, slapping and mocking him. The subsequent process included Jesus being on trial in front of the Roman governor, Pilate. Jesus confirmed Pilate's question when asked if he was indeed king of the Jews. Eventually, the leaders of the mob got their ways and demanded that Jesus be crucified. Even though the government found no reason to justify this, Pilate appeased the crowd. Some speculated him doing this because it was an election year. The article continues. The pre-crucifixion rituals were severe for Jesus. The governor's soldiers were ordered to strip him of his clothes. There was continued mocking, spitting, grabbing, laughing, scoffing, and severe beatings. As a news reporter of 28 years, I have never witnessed a more brutal ordeal. Jesus was led to Golgotha with Smith and Johnson. This was, by all accounts, a normal crucifixion, with a few exceptions. About noon, an unusual weather phenomenon occurred. The sky became dark across the entire region until 3 p.m. Jesus was heard to have shouted out, quote, my God, why have you forsaken me? End quote. After interviewing several people on the scene, no one seemed to understand that or any of the last words of the third man crucified that day. The freak weather continued, as there was also a significant earthquake in the area. However, no strange weather issues have occurred during the past 3 days. Authorities are puzzled by a new twist in this story. The body of the man named Jesus that was buried in a new rock tomb purchased by Joseph of Arimathea is gone. The tomb was sealed by and guarded by the Roman soldiers to prevent possible theft of the body of the followers of Jesus. Now, we are hearing reports this morning that the body has been taken. The soldiers are being interviewed by the governor and religious leaders. Other local authorities are investigating the tomb as a potential crime scene. As of first reports, it appears to be a complete mystery as to what has happened to the dead man's body. The article concludes with, anyone with information related to the missing body should call the Roman consulate so they can solve this case. If anyone saw anyone around the area of the tomb, the authorities would like a statement from you. You may remain anonymous. We will continue to follow this unusual story to the very end. You know, when we come to an Easter service at church, we tend to forget that most of us, have heard this over and over and over. In fact, when we start this story of the death, burial, and resurrection, we just can fly right through it. We know how it started, and we know how it ended. And we're thankful as Christians for how it ended. That's our hope for today. But there are people, there were people, 80 generations ago, in fact, that experienced this for the very first time. Maybe they witnessed the crucifixion. They were there. They were part of the crowd that said, crucify him, crucify him. They heard the nails being driven into the hands and feet of those three prisoners. And they saw them all die. Two were taken away. Don't know what happened to them, but we have record that the one man was taken away and put in a tomb. And they thought probably that is it. Those eyewitnesses are long, long, long gone. But we have the Bible that details those who saw it firsthand. And really, that's enough. That's all we need. And that's the story we tell every year. Now, today, it seems like the crucifixion story is kind of relegated to being a holiday. A holiday shared with plastic eggs, with an Easter bunny, and with family dinners. So that's why I made up the newspaper article. It's almost and mostly historically accurate, but it is completely biblically accurate, including the sky darkening for 3 hours out of nowhere, including an earthquake that happened post-crucifixion, post-death. All those things are biblically sound. I just tried to make it seem like something we would read in our paper today. Well, now there are many points that can be made in a sermon on an Easter Sunday. Let me make just this one. Remember the two criminals that were executed on either side of the cross of Jesus that day. I want to tell you about them. Another famous reporter would have said this. Now let me tell you the rest of the story, right? So here it is. During the time all three men were alive, hanging on their cross, one man mocked Jesus. He said things like, quote, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it," end quote. But the other man did just the opposite. He said stuff like, "Don't you fear God when you're dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." And then that criminal who said that looked over at the man in the middle and said, "Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And then here's what Jesus said. He didn't think about it. He didn't analyze it. He didn't ask the man questions about his background. Did he go to VBS while he was alive? Had he attended Sunday school? Did he give money in the offering plate? Did he have any verses from the Old Testament memorized? Here's what Jesus said to that man. "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Wow. "I assure you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Now, let's try to let that soak in, because we could just go right on. The Bible has another verse that goes right after that, but I just want that to soak in. Try imagining that news yourself. You're at the end of your life. You have very little breath left. I don't know how long you've been hanging there, this man, and what's actually happened to him. But now you've just heard the words you did not expect. "Today, I'm going to be in paradise." Do you think the thief understood that? Do you think the thief had all the information behind what paradise is and where it is and how it works? I don't believe so. But here's what I do believe. He recognized who Jesus really was. The man recognized, this man recognized who Jesus was. This man did not. Oh, by the way, remember the unsolved mystery in the newspaper article? Whatever happened to the body of the dead man that was missing? Well, I can tell you, it's pretty neat. He's not dead any longer. He is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. And he was dead, all right, for 3 days. But God raised him from death. And he's still alive. Jesus raised other people from death, and then they died. Not Jesus. And not only do we know that he was alive, hundreds of people saw him after he came out of the tomb. In fact, the Bible says, it gives us a number, 500. Oh, wow. That's not just 12 disciples or just a handful of followers. That's a lot of folks. After coming back to life, hundreds of people touched him, saw him, talked to him, ate with him, and walked with him. And folks, that's the Easter story. That is the Easter story. Now, we're about ready to close the service, and I want to do something a little different to end with, to make this personal, to make this more real for us all. Everyone in this room, everyone in the town of Caddis and outside the town, everyone on this earth will one day have to respond before they die, one day have to respond like one of the two thieves that hung on their cross with Jesus in the middle. We will either deny or mock him like the one did, or we will recognize who Jesus really is and accept him. One will spend eternity separated from God, and the other will spend eternity in the presence of God. I'm going to ask us to do something. And here's the thing. I know many of you have already made this decision, and praise God for that. And so I still want you to do this exercise. And when you do the exercise, you can do what you did sometime in the years or decades past. But here's what I want you to do. And I'm not going to ask anyone to do or say anything in the group or for me to watch. This is something just between you and the Lord. But what I want you to do is I want you to just close your eyes. This will take less than a minute to do. If you'd close your eyes, I want you to picture yourself on this earth 2,000 years ago. Now, imagine it is you hanging on a cross on one side of Jesus. You have just a few minutes of breath left before you die. Keeping your eyes closed in this room, nobody looking around. Use the picture that you've painted in your mind of this scene. And now, in your imagined picture, turn your head to Jesus and say something to him. Did you accept him or did you reject him? Did you recognize who he is or not? You can open your eyes now, because I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer at this time. Then we'll have a closing song. There may be some in this room who have never made a decision of what to think about Jesus. And maybe today someone actually did make that decision for the first time to accept Christ. And if you did, praise God. And if you did, I'd like to encourage you to acknowledge your decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. How do you do that? Well, sometime you can be telling your family and your friends about that. And then when you're ready, you can tell this, your church family, your new brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we can welcome you into the family. I hope you all believe, as I do and as many do in this room. What do we have for our closing song this morning, Doris?
Because he lives.